Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Calalum counties. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey of Senior Corps, retired and senior volunteer program of OLECAP. Inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Our show highlights those organizations and individuals who provide time and a lot of energy to build what King called a beloved community. Today, we are fortunate to be talking about the 2016 Jefferson County Hearts of Service Award. And joining us are two recipients of this year's award, Elma Berry of Chimicum and Linda Herzog of Quilcene. I know you both have full plates, so I appreciate your taking the time to come and talk to us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for their neighbors, their community, or the environment. That is the Heart of Service Award. It's the spirit of it. So tell us about this award. How was your experience when you received it? What happened?
I was quite surprised when my name came up as a recipient, but it was really an honor. The teachers of Chimicum School had got together and nominated me. And so it was really, really nice, and I appreciated that. We had a very nice luncheon at the Commons in Fort Worden, where we were presented with the award. We enjoyed it very much. It was lovely to meet all the other recipients. Great day had by all.
And Emma Berry, how long have you been volunteering at school district, the Chimicum School District?
Oh, I started volunteering when my oldest son went to school there, so 26 years. Right. At the beginning, it was just a little bit, you know, once a week, I made a commitment to go in and help the teacher with anything they needed done. It's mostly photocopying and stuff. And then, you know, you just get used to all the people. It was nice to know the other kids that are in my kids' classes over the years. It just, 26 years has gone.
It grew
very
up
fast. But I have lots of friends down there with the teachers and the staff.
And you were called a core volunteer.
Well, that you was very, very nice of
yes.
them.
Yes.
I do like to volunteer there. Gets me up in the morning.
Yes.
You need to have something to get up for. And I start out my day there down at the school, do whatever needs to be done. And, of course, after all this time, I know what needs to be done, what's coming up. I like to help out.
Linda Herzog, you are one of the voices behind the Quilcene Conversations. Tell us about what this award means to you and what it means to Quilcene.
It means a lot to Quilcene. Quilcene is a community, as far as the Census Department is concerned, it has 850 people in it. As far as we're concerned, we have about 1,500 people. But it seems like a very, very large proportion of them are willing and eager to spend a lot of their time helping the community. So when an award is given to one of our volunteers in Quilcene, everybody rejoices. It's a really important day for all of us. So we were very gratified, and over the past 4 or 5 years, we have filled 3 tables in the room at Hearts of Service Day with Quilcene residents, and everyone rejoices in someone being honored as a volunteer.
That's a pretty good ratio there.
It is. It's a very large ratio for a very small community, but we're all into volunteering.
Yes, you are, I'll tell you. And the thing about this award that I really like about Heart of Service is that it was begun by 3 Rotaries and the PDN, Pacific Daily News, sort of the brainchild of Stephen Raffoth and John Brewer. Those are the 2 guys behind this. And they don't have a limit on who they give the award to. And they could be 2, it could be 10, depending on. So when you earn this award that year, it's because you earned that award that year. They're not filling a quota on this one. This is a very special award.
But we could have all 850 people in Quilcene win the award because they do volunteer and they do wonderful stuff.
Just have to take their turn.
That's right.
And we could have a lot of people from Chimicum School also.
Yes.
I just would love to be able to have everybody have it as well.
So they say that communities that have a strong volunteer base are more resilient. Is that true in your experience? What does that look like in Chimicum and in Quilcene? Elma, resilience. How do we get through those tough times together?
Yeah, well, it's nice to have other people that you can lean on when you need to. Unfortunately, our volunteer base is dwindling. It seems to become less and less over the years. People are busier or don't have time or don't really realize how wonderful it is to volunteer. So we want to try and get them back into volunteering, just to get the feeling. I mean, it is a very satisfactory job or occupation or whatever you would like to call it. Just doing that, see the kids, how happy they are with all everybody's efforts. I like to keep the programs going that are going there.
Right.
At the moment, because all the young kids no matter what, you know, what era, seem to enjoy all the same stuff, basically.
You know, it's funny, because a little secret I've learned from being an RSVP director is that when you no longer care about whether you get paid and you don't really care if you get the credit, you can have a lot of impact in your life. Speaking of impact and resilience, tell us about the clothing swap.
Several years ago, I think in 08, there were wonderful volunteers here, Ann Schneider and her entourage. They started this clothing swap. A back-to-school clothing swap is a brilliant idea because kids grow out of their clothes so fast. And then what do you do? Go buy more. But a lot of people, it seems like a waste of money buying clothes for kids that will grow out of them in a year's time. So Anne started that. And then after a few years, she wanted to retire. And I felt that it was a really worthwhile thing to keep going. So with some nice helpers, I'm able to keep it going at the Chimicum School every year on the week after the Jefferson County Fair, so it's easy to remember. So on that Saturday, people can donate their clothes that the kids have outgrown. They can swap them, they can donate them, or they can buy some if they've nothing to donate.
And it's grown. In 2008.
Oh, it has grown. We have it in the multi-purpose room. The place is full of clothes. It's absolutely fantastic, and people really appreciate it.
And folks come as far away as PA and Squim to come to this.
We've had families who come down now every year, so it's very nice.
You see, that's what a community of volunteers can create. You don't just start that from scratch. That comes from volunteers who are in place, who are having conversations of what's needed, and there it is. That's fantastic.
So this year we will have it on August 20th. And I'd really like to say a big thank you to the people who launder all the lost and found clothes that are left at the school. Last year I had one wonderful volunteer who did that, so...
You know, we should have you come back in early August so we can talk about what you might need for that event.
That sounds like a great idea. Thank you.
Okay. Linda, tell us about the resilience of Quilcene. And you're working on a very local level with Quilcene's Conversations and QuilceneInfo.com, I think.
There is a website that has some of our information on QuilceneInfo.com. And the Quilcene Conversations is actually a Google group of about 350 people who either are in Quilcene or love Quilcene, and they get messages from me every once in a while. And I try to keep it up, but like you say, it's hard to keep the energy up consistently throughout the year. So we act like a newspaper online for things that are happening in and around Quilcene, so people have opportunities to volunteer for something coming up, or they don't miss an event that would be important for
community
members to go to.
It's great.
It works pretty well. Yeah.
You also work on the county level.
Yes.
Tell
and
us about
that's
that.
A little bit different. There are only a few of us in town who actually work with government agencies. I had my career in government agencies, and a large part of my volunteering is trying to be sure that the services that are provided by specifically the county are spread throughout the county. Our community has been left behind in some ways over the years, and it's a very small community, so sometimes we're not high on the priority list. And since I have some comfort and ease talking with local government officials, I really try to get them to pay attention to Quilcene and the things that we need down there so that our tax money is used actually in our community. And there aren't too many people who have that kind of background, so it falls to just a few of us who've had those kinds of jobs in the past to make sure that they're paying attention to us. And I think we've been pretty successful. The county and the port and our local fire district and our school district are very, very attentive to our community, much more so now for the county and the port than they have been in the past.
And you also serve on the Jefferson County Community Foundation.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Yeah, that's another wonderful volunteer opportunity. And again, like Elma says, it's the people that you're working with as a volunteer
that makes it so
joyous.
And we
so
forget that board work is volunteer work, and important volunteer work.
Right. Very much so.
So what has surprised you about coming to Quilcene and living in Quilcene? What has surprised you about the town and about the county?
I think the biggest surprise about the town is how much the people care for each other. And it's not just your next door neighbor, it's the entire community. When someone is sick or someone has had a surgery and can't move around the kitchen easily, it's instant that there's a group of people who set themselves up to deliver dinners and go over and help people get to the bathroom. And it's just amazing to me how caring people are and how attentive they are to each other's needs. It's like a radar beam goes out across the entire community if somebody needs help, and there's always people there to help. So it's a good one-on-one attachment and relationship that I've not seen before in the larger places that I've lived.
So we have in our communities that hidden volunteerism that goes on neighbor to neighbor, and then we have the organized mm-hmm. volunteer opportunities like the clothing swap. Both of those exist in our communities. So I'd like to talk just a little bit about what you two are doing in your own life, but think about the life of service in general. What does it mean to live a life of service to you as an individual, to your family, to your community? And what does it mean for our children to be raised in a community where so many of their parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents and older siblings volunteer? So it's a kind of a broader question, but let's start with you, Elma. What does that mean to live in a community that volunteerism is so high? We are the fourth highest state in the country, number one, and our county is extremely high. So what does that mean?
I think, like Linda, I must have grown up in a place like Quilsin, because you wouldn't call it volunteering. It was just what you did. You know, if somebody needed anything, everybody was there to help. So it was very easy. You know, you would just do it without thinking. I think I brought my kids up to, they're both Boy Scouts and Eagle Scouts. And, you know, I wanted to instill that, just give to other people. You'll feel much better, you know, if you're helping others. It's just a joy, really. I think if everybody could just feel that, we'd have a great world.
You're a great salesperson.
Thanks.
For volunteering.
Yes, come on down.
Come on down.
The question about resilience is a really important one, especially in a small place like Quilsin. You do have to have the energy of the entire community to be resilient if there's a disaster or even if something small goes wrong. But the life of service is so closely attached to that. I think we all understand that in order for a community to be a really strong community, everyone needs to participate in some way. And while we're working, and some of us worked more than 40 hours a week, there wasn't really very much time to do other than work and take care of your family. But when you're retired, and I've just turned 70, so I've been retired for a little while, and I find that without the pattern that work gives you during the day, you really don't feel like you're contributing. If you're able to kind of shift your skills and your talents over to something that benefits your community, you do feel like you have a place, and you do make very close attachments to people who are like-minded. So I think the life of service is somewhat selfish. And along the way, of course, you recognize that you're helping your community. But there's a strong personal need in my case, and with the people that I work with most closely, to really give back. And our 501c3 that we formed 4.5 years ago had a retreat recently, and the board members were asked, why do you serve on the board of this nonprofit organization, which is designed to help Quilsin? Every single one of them said, in one way or another, I need to give back. My life has been so rich and so full. I really need to give back to my community. It's a personal need that I have. So I think all of us have it to some extent. And when you get to retire, then you can use that energy in a very beneficial way.
In a very new way, too. It's,
yes.
It's kind
yes.
of freeing in some ways.
Exactly.
You know, I had a young woman on the show a couple of years ago, and I asked her about life of service, and she had her son was here with her in the room. And she said, the thing that's amazing is that my son, by watching his parents and his neighbors and his grandparents serve, understands that the adult in his life will take care of things. And there's a sort of a trust level that his community is there for them. And I think for children especially, that's a wonderful sense of, well, we'll just do it. We'll just get it done.
Yeah.
Well, I think our listeners can really tell why both of you received this award. They couldn't have chosen more perfect role models for our children in the future.
Well, thank you. It's very flattering.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both for coming in today. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9 Port Townsend, Washington. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey, and our production coordinator is Mike Schlutzer. I'd like to thank programming manager Larry Stein. I also want to thank Pat Rogers and all the volunteers at KPTZ who work many hours with a lot of love to bring us eclectic music and local conversation, both here in Jefferson County and on the web at kptz.org.